Chapter 3. Stravinsky had slowly but steadily improved from his stroke, though in April he remained housebound in Los Angeles. My brown hair streaked with gray, I returned to New York and entered Lenox Hill Hospital on the Upper East Side. Home. Father. At first sight of me, his seemed persistently handsome face opened into a wide grin. Then we both burst into tears and for comfort ate the entire box of my favorite chocolate he had brought me. He came each day wearing a three-piece suit, holding his hat with a snappy red feather, and, finding a place for it amid my bouquets, he read to me in his French-tinged tenor. The mints and aftershave didn't mask alcohol vapors, yet I didn't smell them at every visit, and good grief, I would have needed a couple of drinks to see me. "He's writing," I told Mother. "He's standing for full professor. I wouldn't exactly dub him a raging alcoholic." "Did I?" she asked. "I am pleased he's doing so well." But she wouldn't see him. Their visits were scheduled to never coincide. I depended on Father's visits. Other than Father, Mother, and George, I didn't want visits. I dreaded and yearned to see Jerry, who was gone on vacation but would soon return. I hated the idea of most people seeing me, and I didn't care to see them, particularly dancers. George wasn't with me as much. He hadn't returned to the company, but he had gone to Los Angeles to see Stravinsky, and back on the East Coast he was busy at our weekend place. Before we met, he had bought a parcel of land in Weston, Connecticut, with his Hollywood money. After we married, we put up a small house, and we had begun chopping away at the grounds in our city dwellers' attempts at beautification. Now George was seriously making the place nice for my wife, although, according to recent plans, I wouldn't get there in the near future.